Oh, hell yeah. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, give us a call, 617-779-7937. We have neglected you, the caller, today because we have just been so – I mean, it's been a sports extravaganza.
I've been loving it.
Just a sports rodeo.
No pivots needed.
We've been riding the sports bronco all day. And you can also go to the Odyssey app, and poor Jackson, because he unloads the take grenades that we usually play later on the show. I haven't plugged it once. So we really need to make up for lost take grenades. Go over to the Odyssey app. It's a great app, by the way. You should really follow the show there. Just go to the WEEI, press follow, and boom, one-stop shopping for the greatest show in the history of radio. It will just launch right to your phone, and then, of course, you can leave a message if you press that little microphone button and leave us a take grenade. We play those a little bit later on. I'm about to do something really quick that they teach you in radio school never to do, and that is just to mention something and then go right into something else. We are going to play the Drake May audio he just spoke, but I just saw this, and I have to mention it. There is a movie that is coming out about... you know, Robert Pattinson, Batman, great actor. He was in...
those vampire movies.
Yeah, Twilight and whatever. He's a great actor. He is... apparently, they're making a movie about the life of Chris Hansen, the host of To Catch a Predator, and about how all of that went down. Do you remember the show To Catch a Predator? Oh, Ted, this show was the wildest show back in like 2007, 2008. It was enormous. It was... Chris Hansen was a guy that used to be like a legitimate journalist. Like he worked for, it wasn't 60 Minutes, but it was a show that was like that, NBC Nightly News. And he teamed up with these people who set up these stings where they would have people go into chat rooms and pose as underage kids and lure people to houses. And Chris Hansen would be sitting there with like hidden cameras and all of the people that got lured in would show up and on like television, they'd be like, you know, you're here to see a child, aren't you? And they're like, oh my God. And they're like, you're under arrest. And the cops would come out and arrest him. Wow. However, every time I watched it, I'd be like, this kind of feels like entrapment. And I don't really know who these people are who are setting up the stings. And it ends up, they were using these really shady ways to get people there. I guess the people who had set it all up were like, I guess they said that they were underage, but they were in chat rooms that you had to be over 18 to go into. So like legitimate people thinking they were meeting for hookups weren't clicking the 14 things you had to click to find out that they were like underage because everything else said that they weren't. And so they were arresting fairly and embarrassing on TV fairly innocent people till one of the stings where they embarrassed this one guy ended up killing himself. Jeez. Like on the show. He was like in this farm and they went over to his house. There was a gunshot and like everything went bad. And Chris Hansen just disappeared.
That guy was a sheriff too, Rich.
Yeah, it was a sheriff who they had said. And we went to his house because he had been responding to our underage decoy. Mm. And it ends up they go to the house and like on TV, you hear like a gunshot. And so they're making a movie starring Robert Pattinson as Chris Hansen called Primetime. And I just watched the trailer. Dude, that story is insane. Good for, I mean, that's one I want to see. So I just
saw know that. What's happened to him? Like, where's Chris Hansen now?
So Chris Hansen's still out there, but he's not doing a lot because I think that there's like crazy lawsuits and stuff from a lot of the families. But I remember one time I was talking to.
He's got a YouTube channel.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Who doesn't?
So there was a guy from the Dropkick Murphys that we were talking to one time. And he said one of the weirdest things that they ever had was that one of the dudes on To Catch a Predator who went over the house was wearing a Dropkick Murphys t-shirt. And he said it's like the worst advertising that we've ever had for our band. This guy that could have been like a pedophile was wearing their shirt because I don't think anybody wants to see that. And once again, this is what they say in radio never to do, but I just saw it. It was fresh on my mind. And that movie looks like it's going to absolutely rule. All right, let's get to Drake May. So Drake May spoke just a couple of minutes ago, I think maybe an hour ago. And this is on the heels of Mike Vrabel, and we're going to have Tommy Curran on with us to kind of read through the tea leaves and see exactly what he thought of what Vrabel said. But, you know, Drake May is going to have an interesting offseason here, especially if next week, is it Monday? Is that the first? Is Monday June 1st? I believe it is.
Yes. Yep.
That's D-Day for A.J. Brown.
Correct. Yep.
Everyone's saying that's the day that the deal that is essentially already written and all put out has been consummated. And
if it's not Monday, then you start to worry as a Pats fan that Eagles are trying to extract more out of somebody and get other teams in the mix.
I'm starting to think that they're the only team.
I think so, too.
They're bidding against themselves.
Schefter's not this confident about things unless they're done. However.
So true.
If by Monday night he's not a Patriot, something's off.
Something is off. So Drake May was asked... I guess vaguely about AJ Brown. I have not heard this yet. Stiz just told me that it was addressed in his press conference. Stiz, can we hear that clip?
How aware are you of the AJ Brown rumors? You know, how much do you know about him? And you know, how fun would it be to throw to a guy like that?
Yeah, I think it's part of the NFL. You know, they throw names around there, around every team, depending on whoever looks best in the graphic and the jersey on social media. So, you know, I'm really just focused. We got some new guys in here that I'm working with, and I know there's some, you know, a lot of talk with that. But, you know, if he ends up being on our team, great. You know, what a great player. And if he doesn't, we still got to work these guys here. So it's a tough balance, but I know he's a phenomenal player.
This is going to
sound answer. Like, good answer, Drake.
Sure, a decent answer. This is going to sound like a really basic question, but Ted, how big is it for somebody like Drake May in their third year to have a weapon as dangerous as AJ Brown at his disposal?
It's huge. It's a game changer because I think his best pass is the nine route, is the deep route up the sideline, and I think that's what AJ Brown's very good at too, right? I mean, Kayshon Booty was excellent at that. What it does is opens up everything short to intermediate. Patrick Mahomes, the last couple of years, has not had a deep threat. Mm-hmm. And you look at their numbers, they can't push the ball down the field. They can't strike fast anymore. They used to be a fast striking offense, but with the Cheetah not on that team anymore, they don't have a deep threat. And so it limits what you can do. To have a deep threat and a guy that you can go to in one-on-one situations, it's a game changer. So it would be, I mean, a huge, huge, huge weaponization of the offense if you could get AJ Brown next week.
As a linebacker, when you played, how much tougher was it to defend against quarterbacks when you knew you had a deep threat like that?
It was so much harder because they're less predictable.
Yeah,
it really is. They can do a lot of it. So if you want to play, all right, you want to cover your ass on the back end, we're going to drop two safeties and then they start running the ball, right? Oh, okay. Now we're gonna bring an eighth guy down to stop the run. Okay, now they start to go to work on the deep ball. I mean, the Denver Broncos were excellent with doing that, and so it's very difficult when you have a deep threat on as part of the offense. It's hard to stop everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you say that. Wiggy this morning was saying the guy he has the most hope for the jump from this last year to this year is Travion Henderson, and maybe AJ Brown impacts him. If what you're saying is true, it opens up the running game in a weird way.
So I want players like Travion Henderson, AJ Brown, the tight end from Notre Dame. Like, I don't want to get too excited. He's a third rounder, Reardon. Like, he has some athletic explosiveness to him. We need explosive players on this offense because Drake is an explosive player. He plays the position. He's a weapon at quarterback, so you want to surround him with as many weapons as you can.
And also, I got to think when you are, you know, playing your position and you're seeing a guy and you know that you've got this burner behind you, it's got to make things so much more complicated as far as where your head's at, what kind of plays you can run, and the simplicity is just out the window. Like, you can no longer, it completely makes everything more complex, correct?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Way more. And one thing I want to also add, that if you don't bring in an AJ Brown, you kind of, for I think the most important position group, maybe defensive backs, but probably wide receivers, is you need to have an adult in the room.
Yeah.
Who's an accomplished player, who sets a tone from a physical standpoint. The receivers feed off of the number one, like the number one pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
If he's a tough SOB, you'd like to think the rest of your staff is going to be the same way. Same thing in football. That's what you saw with Steph Diggs last year. His toughness permeated throughout the whole receiver group, and you saw how that reacted to it. You need A.J. Brown to be the flag carrier in that group to set the tone, because you got a lot of young guys in that core group right there.
Ken, what is the latest we're hearing about what they're going to be giving up for him? Because it keeps changing.
First round was what? In 2028 was what Schefter had said. He wouldn't be surprised if it was a first-round pick, not next year's draft, but in 2 years.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
That sounds high to me.
It's high if you're the only one bidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're the only team that's bidding for him, then that seems high. I think you could probably – I think you could get away with, like, a third-rounder. But if you're the only team bidding, I think you have more leverage. A.J. Brown doesn't want to be there. A.J. Brown wants to play for the Patriots. He doesn't want to be for the Eagles. The Eagles have gone out and they drafted a guy in the first round. They brought in two guys in free agency. A.J. Brown essentially is not going to be on that team. So they don't have leverage, the Eagles. So if you don't have to give him a first rounder, why give him a first rounder?
Yeah.
It just seems to me like maybe – you know what it feels like? It feels like they said to him, there's already a deal, just like, dude, we'll give you a first rounder. Just let's make – agree right now.
Right.
Like this is something I don't want anyone moving in. I don't want any surprises. It's worth me giving it to you so I don't have to worry about that.
There is, and that's kind of like if you play early, you say, all right, I'll give you a first rounder, and then that's, you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if you're kind of, I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did. I think they said, you know what, so we don't have you bidding with other teams. We can just make a decision. You're going to get our first rounder. And then that just kind of closes it, and you don't have to worry about it.
But the thing is, though, is if you're the Eagles, and there does happen to be another team that want it, I mean,
too late. They had their shot.
Yeah. Well, no, I still think, and I know that there's this whole, well, you have to honor this thing. There's honor my. If the Eagles GM isn't doing his job and taking the best deal that he can get, I'd mother F the Patriots too. I'm like, you give me more, sure, why not?
But if he starts, going behind their back and negotiating maybe a better deal, then that's going to get out, and a lot of people won't want to deal with Howie Roseman anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
you think it's that bad? Even if it's a better deal,
scarlet letter on Howie.
But if it's a better deal, I mean, because the thing
the word is
oh, if you yeah, possible. If you made an agreement, mm-hmm. yeah.
By the
oh.
way, you know, football's back because Doug Kide is charting the passes today.
Hell yeah,
Drake May 13 of 22 with a pick. Tommy DeVito 7 of 12. So they're out there charting every play.
I keep forgetting Tommy DeVito's out there. Yeah. Is his agent with the hat still there?
He probably.
He's close by.
He's Italian. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't heard that.
Yeah, I think
so is Weissert, the reliever, and he stinks.
is DeVito the backup right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Number two.
Well, you feel they drafted, good about that?
They drafted the guy in the seventh round.
Yeah. 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 You know what? They obviously liked what they saw in the kid.
DeVito doesn't seem bad. Like, I mean, he started a couple games for the Giants, right? Yeah. I mean, and he was fine,
all right.
I believe.
Yeah, he was
he's
all right.
In those commercials that talk about the backups, so he's like the face of a backup, right? What's that commercial?
What commercial are you talking about? I don't know.
What's the commercial with the backup
quarterback? Oh, yeah. It's a progressive.
Teddy Bridgewater's in one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need some. Let's call in a backup.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito. He gets in the picture.
Yeah, you had Drake doesn't need a veteran kind of holding his hand anymore.
No.
He's so, you know, and Tommy's not going to be a threat. To him, so he's probably the perfect kind of backup right now.
He might be better than the Jets and Dolphins starters, to be honest. I mean, could he compete with Geno Smith for the starting job?
That could be the case.
Geno looked good week one last year, though. Didn't he?
I mean, dude, he's got his flashes, man. There's times where Geno looks like a world beater. Like, this guy is good.
Real quick on the text line, 774 texture, back to the Vrabel stuff. I agree with what Ted was saying earlier. Mike was tense. That was the word that I would use today.
Yeah, I think that he's going to continue to be tense and lack that confidence and the swagger that he had until they start winning, not playing games, but winning. Because if he doesn't win, the questions will still arise. Did that whole Rossini thing affect the offseason? Did it affect everything, the way that he plays? Does it affect his swagger? Until they start winning, that's going to be the way that it is, unfortunately. All right, 617-779. You know what? Actually, we'll take... Well, we have to break. Because Tommy Curran's on next.
Tommy
Curran's going to talk to us about all the Mike Vrabel, A.J. Brown, Christian Gonzalez, and everything else. We'll talk to him next.